Atheist Nomads, episode 136, news for March 3, 2016.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us today is my lovely wife, Lauren.
Hi, everyone.
So how's everybody doing?
Oh, not too bad.
I can go into great detail, but I won't. Just know I'm switching meds. So, you know, Sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah. We're recording on Wednesday. Our normal recording night is Tuesday. That is explained by Lauren's med switch. So,
yeah. I'm like, no, let's snuggle on the couch instead. And then Seattle's like, what's up, power? You don't get any. And then, yeah. We had a Tuesday night off. It was really nice. We watched Smallville.
Oh.
And Agent Carter.
I've heard good things.
Nerded it up. Agent Carter is very good.
Yeah? Okay.
Smallville is, it's season one, so I'm struggling through, but it's all right.
Yeah, and I've been doing some behind-the-scenes videos. I started a YouTube channel, Revive the DW Nomad blog, and having some fun playing around with that. I've got a few videos up so far. Two of interest to our listeners, potentially, are a studio tour and behind-the-scenes look at my editing process. And got some feedback on the studio tour that we will be getting to later.
Aw, yay, feedback.
Yes, I talked about something that I wanted and why, and someone was like, okay, how much will that cost? Let's make that happen.
Yay!
And listeners, you have a part to play in that. So we will be talking about the matching offer here in the feedback and supporter section. But yeah, the links to those videos are in the show notes, and if you subscribe to the channel, there'll be random techie stuff. Audio, a lot of audio production stuff, and this summer it'll either be on that channel or a different channel. I'll hopefully be doing some adventure videos as we adventure around Idaho
and Oregon and Washington.
yeah,
maybe Montana,
depending on how much money we have to buy diesel. I'll get 40 miles per gallon adventuring. Better not adventuring than adventuring. But that still costs money. So let's go ahead and move into dusting off the degree.
All right.
Last time we covered how the pre-exilic Yahweh was converted into the one true God, trademark, and the adversary or Satan. So, yes, there was many gods. They picked one and they split that God into two. Christians then, of course, split more. But before we get to that, the Old Testament doesn't give much detail on this Satan character, and most of the time, the real adversaries were simply human kings, governors, and generals. In the New Testament, everything is different. Satan tempted Jesus with the power to turn rocks into bread, transport him to other locations, and show him the whole world. Like, literally, the story says that Satan showed him the entire earth.
Mm. Well, it was flat at that point, right? So easy peasy.
Unless you talk to a Greek or Egyptian.
No. We're ignoring those guys.
Satan is the constant enemy tempting otherwise good humans to sin. He's always trying to spoil God's plan all the way through. And by the time you get to Revelation, he's manipulating world events and has dominion over all that is not godly. Since then, Christians have been blaming Satan for their faults and their failings. They accuse their opponents of being agents of Satan. They burn witches for having congress with the devil. Congress means sex. Mental illnesses and epilepsy are all easily explained away as demon possession. And there's even a debate within parts of conservative Christianity about what powers Satan has. Can he hear your thoughts, or is he limited to what he can observe naturally? Is he able to influence those thoughts if you haven't invited him in? What does that invitation even mean?
What, like a vampire?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, maybe that's where that came
from. Basically, every time you masturbate, the devil has free reign. Or every time he hears you
Congress.
Cuss,
we'll
you
call
have
it
free
Congress.
Reign. Yeah.
With Satan.
Is that when Satan kills a kitten?
Perhaps. But are unrepentant sins even enough right there to allow the mind rape of the Dark One?
Whoa, mind rape? Mm.
Yes,
Congress involves consent, right? So I guess mind rape is just...
So I guess what it really comes down to is they're debating about whether or not Satan needs explicit consent or if implied consent is enough.
Well, if that were the case, then they wouldn't be able to go around calling all atheists Satan worshippers, because most atheists do not go out and say, "Hail Satan!"
Or do we?
Dun, dun, dun.
And yes, I actually thought about and worried about all of these things.
Poor, confused little boy.
But the worst thing that Satan did to me, or more accurately, the fear of Satan did to me, was make me doubt my doubt. Even when I was pretty certain that Christianity was bullshit, and I wasn't sure if there was a God, there was still a part of me that worried that it was all Satan just trying to get me off of God's path.
Get you off. Sorry. Serious moment there.
But when it really comes down to it, when you look at the power that Christians assign to Satan, it almost seems like Satan is more powerful than God. Because anytime you get down on your luck, things aren't going your way, you're not happy, it's the devil trying to get you, and God just lets him do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christianity, when it really comes down to it, it's the fear of Satan.
But that's not what it used to be. That's fairly new. How new would you say that is?
I would say that's probably about 2nd century CE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it dates all the way back. Self-flagellation, beating yourself. That was a
phrasing.
Masturbation.
That was a process that was created to try to drive the evil out of you. Not necessarily Satan being involved, but Christians throughout the ages, the Dark Ages, one of the biggest things there, one of the reasons it was so dark was how powerful the fear of Satan was. Burning witches was because they were afraid of the devil. If you lost in a war, God wasn't on your side, the devil was able to get to you. It kind of comes and goes as to how much people obsess with the devil. We're on the drawing down of a major period with the satanic panic of the 1980s.
I don't know. If you want proof that the Satan exists, just look at how many delegates Trump won last night.
And I really wouldn't be surprised if we get continued obsession with the devil with the current Satanist movement. Not with Satanists being obsessed with the devil, but with Satanists making Christians fear the devil even more.
Yeah, I can definitely see a little bit of that. I mean, most of the ones that I know are guilty of just trying to fan the flames of... Oh. Sorry, Rocco was not happy with the way I moved my arm.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take our first break, and then we'll be back with history.
Hail Satan.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's ARCHWAY hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
So, this day in history, March 3rd, the year starting with 1836. Texas formally signs a Declaration of Independence from Mexico. So, yeah, due to some glitches, misspellings, stupid crap like that, it was actually signed on the 3rd, though they declared their independence on March 2nd. So I'm still kind of claiming this one.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, March 3rd. So what goes along with this? Yeah. During the Texas Revolution, a convention of American Texans met at Washington on the Brazos. Brazos, declared the independence of Texas from Mexico on the 2nd, like I was mentioning. The delegates chose David Burnett as the provincial president and confirmed Sam Houston as the commander-in-chief of all Texan forces. The Texans also adopted a constitution that unfortunately protected the free practice of slavery, which had been prohibited by Mexican law. So, yeah, those... good old-fashioned Mexicans were, you know, a little bit more better.
Progressive.
Progressive. Yeah, like good word. Thank you. Perfect word, even. Yeah. So, took quite a while, but... Texas sought the annexation by the United States, but both Mexico and the anti-slavery forces in the United States opposed its admission into the Union. So for nearly a decade, Texas existed as like its own little independent republic island. Sam Houston, he actually became Texas's first elected president. And in 1845, Texas joined the Union as the 28th state, leading to the outbreak of the Mexican-American War. So... yeah.
Were they forced to give up slavery at that point?
Yes, but that didn't last too much longer because of Civil War. Yeah. The United States Civil War. Yes.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. So they had slavery for another, you know, 15 years.
15? Okay. 15, yeah.
Those the 20, good old days, yeah, in Texas.
Yeah. 1860.
1865 was about the time the Civil War was done. So, yeah.
Yeah. About that, yeah. Hooray, yeah. A breakaway from Mexico, so, you know, among other things, they could keep slavery. Yeah, great. Anyways. So, this day in history, the year 1904, Dr. Seuss, a.k.a. Theodore Geisel, was born. So, this is a guy that, you know, just I grew up with, and I'm sure, like, so many other people did. All of his books were just freaking amazing. Cat in the Hat, The Lorax, Oh, the Places You'll Go, you know, everything. Yertle the Turtle. I'm Yertle the Turtle. Oh, marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see. You know, just fun stuff. I mean, who didn't grow up with green eggs and ham? This guy is, he was just amazing, and, you know, definitely sad that he died, but he sure left a hell of an indelible mark on the world.
Mm-hmm.
How about you guys? Did you grow up reading any of his books?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mom was actually, her name's Sandy, but her dad called her Sam. So Green Eggs and Ham was always her favorite book.
Nice.
Yeah. My grandparents had a couple of Dr. Seuss books that I would sit and read over and over and over and over again. I have some of those now.
Yeah. In fact, nice. They're right there. There's a Wocket in my pocket. I do not question what the Wocket is, but it's in his pocket, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, from him, I moved on to, you know, other poets like Ogden Nash, amazing American poet that used to make stuff that shouldn't rhyme. It's just loved it. Oh, but anyways, yeah. Mr. Yeah. Geisel there, he died in 1991 at the age of 87, so he had a pretty good stretch there.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes from him is, I think it's, I'm probably going to slaughter this, but, be who you are and say what you think, because those who matter don't care. And those who care don't matter.
Mm. Wow. Moving on along, this day in history, 1915, the NACA, the predecessor of NASA, is founded.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, NACA is the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. and they were founded to undertake, promote, and institutionalize aeronautic research. It wasn't until 1958 that the agency was dissolved, and pretty much instantly, everything was pretty much instantly shifted over to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA. But during their time, the NACA was actually very, very important. Developing stuff like ducting, and which has a lot of current modern automotive applications, or cowling, or airfoils, which are still used in aircraft manufacture.
Mm-hmm.
During World War II, NACA was described as the force behind our air supremacy due to its key role in producing working superchargers for high-speed, high-altitude bombers. Superchargers are pretty badass anyways, but...
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, hell of a way to push you back in your seat. But this is some pretty fucking cool, pretty cool shit. You should look these guys up. I mean, they had a lot to do with the producing the cutting edge wing profile that the P-51 Mustang uses. Used. So, you know, anyways, yeah, some really fucking smart people.
Nice.
Moving on along, this day in history, 1929, Congress passes the Jones Act. So you might have heard of this little thing called prohibition, and lovely thing that it was. I believe it was 1920 when the 18th Amendment went into effect, but you know, that really didn't have any teeth, so Congress passed the Jones Act, which basically strengthened the federal penalties for bootlegging. But of course, it only took like 5 years before the country ended up rejecting prohibition, repealing the 18th Amendment, and dealing with all of the underground crime that they have pretty much caused, which sprung up just about overnight when prohibition went into effect.
And invented drag racing.
Yeah.
And I drank in your honor.
Well, pretty much NASCAR. Yeah.
Not NASCAR's honor, the repeal of prohibition's honor.
Oh, no, Lauren was saying about...
No, I said I drink in your honor. I had to clarify whose honor. Nah. What's honor? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe a lot of those early bootleggers and their, like, supercharged cars, they all went into racing, like she was saying.
Mm-hmm. And the ones who didn't found other illegal activities.
Oh, good times.
And the mob was born.
Well, not really born, but really fucking strengthened.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then the Italians and Irish became cops.
Yeah, I'm sure they had nothing to do with, like, hiding any crimes ever.
And then black people and Asians and Mexicans started forming gangs, and soon, if we're lucky, they'll be cops.
This day in history, the year 1938, oil is discovered in Saudi Arabia. All right, so moving back backwards a little bit to 1936, SoCal, which is a subsidiary of the California Arabian Standard Oil Company, joined forces with the Texas Oil Company and formed Caltex in 1936. And these two companies basically had geologists surveying large areas around Saudi Arabia. And it was on this day, the Dram number 7, that they fucking found oil and just forever changed everything in that area. The king of Saudi Arabia, of course, didn't have to rely on fucking tithes, essentially.
Yeah.
Rely on receipts from pilgrimages. I mean, like, really? I mean, until 1938, that's what the kingdom fucking relied on. Holy shit.
It wasn't a very old kingdom at that point.
Sure. Poor as fuck, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very poor.
Holy crap.
It was a bunch of Bedouins.
Yeah, well, rich fucking Bedouins now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely.
But yeah, you know, they sure as hell had to really drill like fuck. Of course, cave-ins, broken bits, you know, standard drilling shit, but they had to drill a lot deeper than usual. And yeah, this was the first strike in the area that just really changed everything.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with science. We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice. All right, we are back. And for science, I'll be taking the lead on this since Lauren's been kind of hit or miss recently. Yay, meds!
Yay!
scientists have found a fossil of a 520-million-year-old crustacean-like creature in South China with a mostly intact nervous system. And this is the oldest example of a nervous system, and it has a rope-like cord heading from the head down to the end of the body with visible bead-like nerve clusters. It also has ganglia along it going to the 80-some-odd limbs. And what makes this find so extraordinary was the paleontologists were able to distinguish individual nerve cells, some of which were more than 10 times thinner than a human hair. These nerve extensions along the nervous system are seen only nowadays in velvet and penis worms.
Yes, you said that correctly. Most arthropods. They're not velvet and penis. It's one's a velvet worm and one's a penis worm, by the way.
And penis worms are the most terrifying thing in the world.
I want to see a velvet penis worm.
Well, you can imagine what its nervous system looks like.
Most arthropods have lost most of their nerves over time.
Yeah, they usually just have the one that goes, the one spinal cord goes all the way down the body with a few going at the top where the legs are. But versus velvet and penis worms, which have little legs going all the way down their bodies. Yes.
Those of you watching the video can see me being very uncomfortable right now.
Penis worms.
Yeah, Lauren added that bit to my notes.
Well, just wanted to specify that most arthropods don't have that kind of nervous system anymore.
Yeah.
It seems to have gone down the wayside of evolutionary not favoritism.
All right. And we have yet to talk about the Zika virus, but at this point it's been found in 40 countries, is fairly solidly linked to microencephalopathy. It's tentatively linked to Guillain-Barré syndrome. And it has also been found to probably be transmitted sexually. I'm using all these vague and uncertain terms because the microencephalopathy has only been known for a few months. The sexually transmitted possibility, it's never been shown to actually be sexually transmitted, but they have found it present in a British man's sperm for several months after infection. The Guillain-Barré syndrome link was just recently found in a Pacific island in Tahiti. And despite the fact that Zika has been known since the 50s, it wasn't really thought of as a really much of a thing until it all of a sudden started causing these huge pockets of microencephalopathy in Brazil.
Which, by the way, is when a baby is born with a tiny head. Usually the back part of the head slopes down and there's not much brain. And they don't usually survive very long.
And if they do, it's, well, worse.
Yeah.
Watch the movie Todd Browning's Freaks and you'll see some people with microencephaly.
That's right. Oh, that's right. They were in Freaks, weren't they?
Yep.
And then the Guillain-Barré syndrome is a form of paralysis.
Yeah.
Yeah, the paralysis.
Autoimmune paralysis.
So, yeah, these are pretty, for the low percentage of people who apparently have gotten these particular side effects, they're absolutely devastating.
And especially when it's babies, because most healthy adults that get it develop at worst cold or flu-like symptoms.
Mm.
That in mind, so far about 50 Americans living in the actual states have been infected while traveling abroad. These are people who have been diagnosed as infected. Considering how slow, well, the delay between it moving and actually being identified in a place, realistically, Lauren and I may have picked it up in Mexico, come back home with it, and never known.
Yeah.
Probably not, but it would be enough that if Lauren were to get pregnant, it would be a really good idea to get tested for Zika. Otherwise, no concern.
Mm.
And thanks to the IUD, we don't really need to worry about that.
Yay!
And
but, no babies.
But in Puerto Rico,
yay!
They are getting a lot more of this. And it is endemic there. And but it isn't known to be present in any mosquitoes within the continental U.S., and since there is no vaccine and the vast majority of adults are asymptomatic or have common, easy to misidentify symptoms, treatment would be very difficult, if even possible. And for babies born with a microencephalopathy, there is no treatment available that is permanent. So this is leaving the U.S. with having to develop a plan to try to prevent it from really taking hold. And a few options are being considered. One is a bacteria that can make transmission more difficult. And the other, more interesting one, is genetically modified mosquitoes designed to eliminate native populations of the offending mosquito species. And we have talked about that concept before. If they go the GM route, it will start with a trial in the Florida Keys using stock from a British company that has been found to reduce populations by about 90% in very short time periods.
Yay!
That is because the males, the genetically modified males, will outcompete the wild males. And when they mate with a wild female, the offspring don't make it to maturity.
Yay!
So they can't bite you.
Yay!
When we talked about that prospect before, I had some misgivings about it because, you know, there's just the ethical concern of intentionally causing an extinction. Yeah. Granted, I have no problem with doing that with smallpox or polio,
black people,
or malaria.
Too soon,
you fucker.
Too soon.
But that will actually come in a little bit. With the mosquitoes, if you eliminate that one species, there are still hundreds or thousands of species of mosquitoes present everywhere this species lives.
Yeah, it's not a keystone species. It's not like other species depend on this particular species of mosquito, luckily. Otherwise, yeah, you would probably have some serious ethical moral dilemmas about causing the massive extinction. But
and this species is the Aedes aegypti mosquito. It is, if you eliminate that, yeah, it won't really cause any effects on the food chain. Nothing noticeable. Other mosquitoes will take its place.
It's also known for carrying a bunch of other diseases that we would love to get rid of, like a dengue fever.
Which is what these methods of abatement were developed for. And it's a lot better than traditional methods of mosquito abatement that we have used, like DDT, which is the environmental equivalent of burning your house down because of a spider.
Hey, come on, it has no bad effects. Sure. Anyways.
In small quantities sprayed under your skin, no problem.
Yeah.
In huge quantities sprayed, dousing swamps with it, you're going to wipe out a lot more insects than you want.
It just reminds me of the picture of the spider web all over the fire extinguisher. And somebody was like, well, I guess the fucker's going to burn. It's like,
yeah, pretty much.
Poor little spider.
But what this really comes down to is whether or not the public is more afraid of genetic modification or the Zika virus.
And probably GM.
And I think Zika.
I think right now more people would be afraid of genetic modification because the only microencephalopathic babies have been black or brown. As soon as it's a white baby, I think people will want Zika gone. I hate to have to say it like that, but just look at the response to ISIS and Boko Haram. Boko Haram is more violent. It kills more people. It is a more disgusting, terrible organization, and nobody cares because they just kill black people. ISIS kills white people.
Yeah, on occasion. Boko Haram Arabs, is pretty much completely limited to
Africa.
Central Africa.
Yeah. You know? And Arabs are considered white.
It's that...
They're considered Caucasian.
Grayscale. Is that brown scale?
Don't tell anybody in Alabama that.
I'm going to go ahead and do an update on the vaginal seeding article that we reported on a little while ago.
Just that is so nasty.
Yeah. Oh, nastier than penis worms? Okay, so it has been theorized that babies who are born from C-section are missing out on bacteria that babies who are born vaginally get from their mothers. This theory then lends to assumptions such as, is this why children who are born C-section are more prone to asthma, allergies, etc., etc.? One of the ways that they want to try and fix this is by taking the fluids that are produced during labor and spreading by the mother and spreading it on the baby right after it's born using a soaked handkerchief or
gauze pad
or something like that.
They basically want to rub it around the baby's eyes and mouth. Especially.
Eyes, mouth.
Anus.
Yeah. Make sure the baby's covered in these, you know, supposedly positive bacteria. Sounds pretty cool. However, all of those assumptions were just that. They were kind of assumptions. And doctors have been forced to tell people that they can't have this particular thing done if they have diseases such as strep B, herpes, gonorrhea. Kind of makes sense, really.
Mm-hmm. Not only is it useless, it's harmful.
Right.
Well, potentially harmful. It's one of those risk versus benefit.
Well, I mean, if somebody's got the herp, you know, then yeah. They just might give that to their kid.
In that case, you have definite risk.
Yeah.
Even without that, the risk of an infection that you don't know you have being spread to the baby, these doctors are saying outweighs any potential benefit of doing the wipes, which there is no evidence to say that it has any benefit, especially considering there's weak evidence that babies actually pick up bacteria, good beneficial bacteria, during the birthing process.
Yeah. So just a little bit of a back, whatever you call that, on
retraction
on that one. It really came down. It hit the news when one woman who was positive for strep B insisted that they do this to her baby, and they had to explain to her that actually, strep B is one of the largest risks for birthing vaginally, and it's not good for the baby, and it kind of got caught up in that, so that's where we saw this kind of retraction. It's good to keep up on these things.
Yeah, well, and it is worth noting that the whole risk versus benefit thing, you might think, oh, maybe C-sections are better than vaginal birth to reduce the risk of some of these infections spreading. No, that's not the case either, because the risk of C-section, it like doubles or triples the risk of maternal or baby death compared to doing a vaginal birth.
Yeah, it really is no other choice.
Yeah.
It's like you have tear or you have bleeding or something. Oh, we have to do a C-section. And then you're down for the count for 6 months. And it's
and trying to do, you know, recover with this? No, that's not the way to do it. There is really good evidence that baby's gut bacteria gets seeded from the mother's milk, from the colostrum. They have found I haven't seen that they figured out how it actually works, but found gut bacteria making it into milk. Some kind of pathway, probably the lymph system transporting it or something. It is time for another break, and then we'll be back with politics and religion. Lauren, will you be with us for that section?
No, I will not be. I am coming down with a headache, and so okay. I shall be exiting.
All right. Could I bother you to bring me a beer?
And I will bring you a beer, my love. Are you sure you don't want a scotch?
I want a scotch.
If everybody will call in and tell us, we'll start forcing Dustin to have scotch on these, and then he'll get wasted by the end. It'll be hilarious. Oh, wait. You'd also have to provide the scotch. Hey, fans of the show, send scotch.
As a listener of the show, I'm going to assume you love my sexy vocal stylings. If you love the rest of the show as much as my voice, consider giving us the resources we desperately need to purchase quality cocaine and Red Bull. We make it super easy to make a one-time donation or to support us on a per-episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon. Find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask.
So, yeah, if anybody out there would like a mailing address, just let me know. And, you know, if you have any, like, alcohol you want me to sample or, yeah, anything, yeah, I'll try it.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially beer. I love Belgians.
Oh, yeah. Triples in particular. Oh, so good.
Maybe we can start, you know.
Like I just spilled beer on myself.
Blasphemy. Start it like a little beer trading thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are time to get actually to business here. Mm. I went ahead and extended the scope on the state legislative update to state governance. Because, you know, crazy people get elected to stuff in at the state level. Hopefully not to president.
At state level, this is where some of the best and some of the worst people are at.
Yeah. For example, creationist is headed to a runoff after narrowly missing the 50% needed to secure the seat that she is running for on the, wait for it, Texas Board of Education.
That really is an important spot, too. It really sucks.
Unfortunately, her creationism isn't what's scary about it, or about her.
No, she's fucking batshit.
She is an avid conspiracy theorist, believes that the New World Order is really in control, that Obama worked as a gay prostitute in his 20s to pay for his drugs, that climate change is actually a government conspiracy.
Okay, but that one about Obama is true. Keep going.
That teaching evolution is to blame for school shootings, and a host of other insane things that she is currently trying to scrub from the internet. Unfortunately for her, and fortunately for us, if you ever try to make something disappear on the internet, it's just going to go viral. Like all of her batshit insane everything. Yeah.
Texas school board. That's some of the most important shit in the U.S. though.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Texas is like pretty much it's them in California that pretty much dictate what school books the country's going to get.
Yep. And California is going to be doing what's right. Actually following science and good educational standards. The likelihood of them going off something crazy is slim. Texas, on the other hand, we should have just left them as an independent country.
Yeah. That I was going to include something about that. We should have like just never let them in.
Mm-hmm.
We could do without Texas.
Bringing it a little bit closer to home. Okay. Like just down the street. we talked about Idaho's Senate Bill 1342 last time. And this is the bill that would allow the Bible to be used as a reference in school. It is getting amended. The first change adds the words religious text including in front of the word Bible. And the second change is removing the hard sciences from the list of subjects. This basically means that if this becomes law, you will be able to use the Bible in place and other religious texts in places where you can already use them. And it slightly decreases the risk of it losing in court. Actually, it greatly decreases the risk of it losing in court. There is no place for the Bible in hard sciences. And if you specifically just say the Bible, you are going to lose in court.
I hope so. Okay.
But I think the part of including is where they went wrong. They should have replaced the word Bible with religious texts. If you name one, you need to name all of them.
Kama Sutra. Yeah.
Tennessee Senate Bill 1792 would allow the Association of Classical and Christian Schools to be a state-recognized accrediting body for church-sanctioned schools. So far, it doesn't sound too bad, but the bill was postponed after a state senator asked the bill's sponsor if he knew about the founder of the organization. Douglas Wilson, pastor of the Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, defends slavery as having been in the best interest of minorities.
Obviously.
Promotes exile of gay people.
Mm.
Executing adulterers. And allowing rapists to pay his victim's father to marry her.
Sure, why not?
Now, of course, the founder of an organization doesn't necessarily tell you much about the organization, unless the organization has failed to officially repudiate that founder. Douglas Wilson is clearly not likely to do a good job of deciding whether or not a school is going to be providing a good education, since he can't even figure out whether or not human beings are allowed to have basic rights. So, Doug Wilson, fuck you.
Also, I'd like to add that, how was it, like 2009, there was a small documentary made called Collision, where Douglas Wilson debates Christopher Hitchens, and Hitchens utterly destroys him, even though Douglas doesn't even fucking fathom it. He doesn't realize that he's just being getting torn apart with some weak ass, he brings weak sauce to the table. It's pretty bad.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, for this insert in the politics section, on the Georgia State Senate floor, Emanuel Jones, a state senator who is black,
who happens to be black, yes,
had a tough question for the bill sponsor, Greg Kirk, who is white. Mm. So let's listen to their exchange.
We're all familiar with the terms KKK. Is that not correct? Meaning the hate organization, Ku Klux Klan?
I've read about them, yes.
Some of my heritage have done a lot more than just read about them, and I certainly understand where you're going, but my concern is, couldn't that organization, if it chose to do so, identify itself as faith-based?
They do.
And again, I'm not an attorney. I don't know. I guess they could, Senator. I'm not sure.
Senator Furtheridge?
I don't know what would stop them.
Senator Furtheridge?
Certainly.
So there's nothing in your legislation that would stop them. Is that correct?
That's right.
Does that present a problem for you, Senator?
Does it present a problem for me? No. Again, I mean, I've read about those groups, but, you know, I don't know that this certainly isn't directed towards them. It's directed towards churches and towards ministers and towards organizations that provide adoptions and organizations that provide help to the homeless and so forth.
Senator Furtheridge?
It's for equal protection as well. Yes, sir.
I heard you initially say the answer is being no. I would certainly hope that you would search your heart and understand how the gravity of dealing with an organization like the KKK, particularly for those of my persuasion, could create problems underneath under this particular legislation. And centrally, it would empower some of the things they would do by discriminating against certain classes of people inheriting your legislation. Aren't you providing a vehicle for them to do exactly that?
Yep.
I don't think so, Senator. I really don't. And, you know, I did watch the Super Bowl the other day, and I did see a tribute to the Black Panthers. I guess that'd be kind of the similar group that we're talking about. And I guess they could fall under this as well.
Oh, wait, hold up. The Black Panthers Just wanted an equal opportunity to open carry, to have weapons, just like every other white person out there.
Yeah. Holy shit. It's so awesome to see somebody call out a bill like this with the KKK in Georgia.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, this football thing's still irking me. apparently this is the first time that the United States noticed that Beyonce's black.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, she was so white, or, you know, deeply suntanned or something, because she wasn't black, but, you know, she, you know, puts on a really good presentation, really good show, and like, oh, wait, Black Panthers, what? Cops, you know, and then everybody loses their shit. I
actually missed that part of the halftime show. I wasn't paying all that close of attention and had pizza that I was having to take care of.
Still, oh my goodness. Still funny.
Yeah.
Anyways, Georgia Senator getting his words tossed back at him. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And keeping on the theme of religion, racism in the South. Most, if not all, Adventist colleges and universities have mandatory worship service attendance, with varying ways of administering that. At Walla Walla, you had to turn in attendance slips to somebody at qualifying events to get credit. And freshmen had to have 3 worship credits a week. And there was an option every night to get that credit. Sabbath church service attendance is usually handled separately, and I know, like in the case of Walla Walla, completely voluntary. In the case of Southern, they just kick you out of the dorm, but you don't have to actually go to church. One of those, you don't have to go to church, but you can't stay here type of deals. And but they do include their Friday night Vespers service as an option to get that worship credit. Anyway, last week's Vespers were put on by the Black Christian Union and was commemorating Black History Month. Several students took to Yik Yak, an anonymous social media app that allows you to chat with people within 5 miles of your location, to say things like, "So glad Black Vespers is over." "Why? Too hot in there. Loud. Like, WTF. Didn't you listen to Vespers? There's no black or white in God's eyes, but only children. Shut up and go eat bananas."
Right.
"Shovel, LOL. Fits you well. Go dig a hole. Some plants need some ground and labor." Other ones, "The balcony is so crazy. Is this how black churches act? Calm down. We're in church, not in the park." "Negro people don't want to be considered different than whites, but they go around saying they have their own national anthem." "So drums in the church are okay now since it's BCU Vespers, right?" "The nigger tea." "Yes, niggerturi is real tonight."
Niggertree.
Niggertree.
I'm going to say
there's too many R's. I think it's somebody who can't talk as well as write.
Well, yeah.
And apparently you can vote up and down on these.
Oh, great.
Niggertree got voted down 1. Drums in the church got voted up 2. And "So glad Black Vespers is over" got voted up 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, there was so much more going on this app that I don't think I'd even heard of before that. But university administration has condemned the racist remarks. But holy shit.
Well, that's the shit that pops out when people think they're anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Just wait. People are going to find ways to discover who's saying what.
Yeah. Well, and I've been to a lot of white Adventist churches. Very, very few allow instruments other than piano and organ during the church service. There's a few that will allow things like flutes and violins. Very few will allow guitars. And the church I grew up in, I played guitar and bass in the church band.
Wow.
How
progressive.
I visited some churches where I played bass in a band while we either performed or helped lead the music service. But most would not allow drums or guitars or other devil's instruments. But black churches pretty much all have, and okay, I've only been to two black churches. One was Adventist, one was Baptist. Drums are very, very common in black churches.
Not really seeing a problem. I mean,
yeah,
seems like an instrument that they grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, culturally, I see a lot of drums coming from Africa and from black culture. I'm seeing a lot of string instruments like guitars and shit like that from like Europe.
Pianos have strings.
Again, I still think of that as a uh-huh. European thing.
Yeah. You can make a drum out of anything. And if you are poor or you're on the plantation, if you've got a wash bin, you've got a drum.
Fucking A.
It makes sense. And, you know, when I was in black churches, I was uncomfortable because the service was unrecognizable to me. There was so much movement. People were really into it. They were enjoying themselves.
Oh yeah, it's night and day between black churches and white churches.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
People have fun in black churches. They don't in white churches. Oh
god, yes, fun. That's a thing. Seriously, whenever I went to a black church growing up, I knew I was at least going to have some fucking amazing food at the end.
Potlucks.
Mm-hmm. White church potlucks, and you're getting all this, you know, nasty watered down shit doesn't taste good.
Oh, white Adventist potluck. Yeah. It's seeing who can make the best either vegetarian casserole if it's a really conservative church, who can make the best fake cheese.
No.
Moving along, Albert Voss is a retired physics teacher and atheist from Germany who lives in a predominantly Catholic region. He recently started putting up bumper stickers on his car. A few of them read, "The church is looking for modern advertising ideas. I can help. Jesus, our favorite artist, hanging for 2,000 years, and he still hasn't got cramp. Let's make a pilgrimage to Martin Luther to Rome. Kill Pope Francis. The Reformation is cool." I am sure they are a lot better in German. A local Catholic was offended and called the police, which led to his driver's license being suspended, his car impounded, and a fine of 500 euros. Damn. The court ruling was that the bumper stickers defamed religion and were in violation of the country's blasphemy laws, which only apply if the blasphemy is capable of disturbing the peace.
Yeah. See, I'm afraid of stuff like this in Ireland, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man. Pretty much any religious bumper sticker is going to offend another person from another religion. So,
yeah.
I think the judge is probably kind of playing favorites here, or the police, actually writing up charges and prosecuting this. I think there's a little bit of favoritism going on.
One person's statement of belief is another person's blasphemy.
Exactly. So you're going to piss somebody off somewhere.
And what's really terrifying about this is Muslims.
Yeah.
Germany has a rising Muslim population, especially with the refugees right now. And Muslims tend to be more sensitive to what they perceive as blasphemy. And if the country's blasphemy laws have the standard of whether or not it's capable of disturbing the peace, then all that means is an offended Muslim threatening to commit violence as a result of it means it was illegal blasphemy. That's all it takes, is one overreaction if you have a standard like that. And if bumper stickers are enough to prompt a conviction, holy shit. Well, moving along.
Yeah.
During a question and answer session, David Bednar, a member of the Mormon Church's Quorum of the 12 Apostles, took a question about homosexuality. Before I play the audio for you, I need to point out that I cut it short since he is quite long-winded. He had a translator, so he was not following a normal cadence, and the translator cut him off a few times, so the ends of a few of his words are missing. Since I cut the translator out, since this is an English language podcast, not Spanish.
You also mentioned that he is a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, which means that he's essentially one of the 12 leaders of Mormonism.
Yeah, one step below the first presidency, which has several members. It's a weird hierarchy up there. Yeah.
But still, I mean, he's one of the church leaders.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the top dudes.
Yeah.
How can homosexual members of the church live and remain steadfast in the gospel? First, I want to change the question. There are no homosexual members of the church. We are not defined by sexual attraction. We are not defined by sexual behavior. We are sons and daughters of God. And all of us have different challenges in the flesh. There are many different types of challenges. The reason I began my answer as I did is that in this question, the word homosexual was used to describe or label a member of the church. It's an inaccurate label. We are sons and daughters of God, and we determine how we respond to the variety of challenges that we face in mortality through the proper exercise of our moral agency.
Yeah, there was some serious getting cut off there. Sorry about that. But some of the areas I cut out included him talking about how morally weak, beautiful people are. How there was one point where he was talking about how terrible it'd be to have a physical handicap as a challenge. And there was one point when he's waving around his water bottle talking about how his wife was afraid he was going to hit her with it.
Yeah. First and foremost, this guy's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God damn. I mean, he's basically saying that homosexual people are handicapped. They're not fully functional. And that is some of the weirdest shit ever. I mean, it seems like every religious person ever does not realize that there are so many homosexual animals out in the world. Homosexual people, homosexual animals all around the fucking globe are fucking natural. I mean, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad, nothing wrong with it at all. It's natural. Get the fuck over it.
Yeah. This is... Yeah, he was saying that the church's expectation is that if you are gay, you don't act on it. That you'll either be celibate or you will go ahead and suck it up and marry somebody of the opposite sex.
Nah, suck it up.
Asking somebody to deny who they are and expect them to partner with, marry, whatever. No, actually all of those things, and produce children with somebody they are not attracted to. That is a recipe for a miserable, shitty life. I'm straight.
I can't think of anything worse.
If I was forced to marry a man, that would suck.
Yeah, at least, you know, two or three times a week.
I would not be happy. But he would be perfectly happy to force gays and lesbians to marry people of the opposite sex, or to deny them one of the basic human needs.
Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, I don't know. I got nothing. This guy's just such an asshole all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mean,
he just looks like a prick, too. God.
Mm. All right.
Yep, if you totally went there.
You think he's bad, while their prophet, Warren Jeffs, remains in prison for sexually assaulting his child brides.
Sure.
Yes, brides.
Oh, yeah.
The top leaders of what remains of his fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints along the Utah-Arizona border, including his brothers Lyle and Seth, have been arrested on federal charges of food stamp fraud and money laundering.
This is awesome. First of all, you know, these are all white people, of course.
Yes.
And you know, food stamp fraud, if this happened to any other race than these nice white and delightsome people, they would just be fucking going out of their minds, just saying exactly what they're what these people are charged with. Oh, look at this fraud, look at all these evil fucking people. But no, since you know they're good church going people, that you know it's okay, especially because, well, the Mormons and especially the FLDS really has problems with the government in any case.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh god. This kind of reminds me of like back in the day when they were taking out mob bosses, like they get them on like tax evasion and just stupid shit just to break them up. And I fucking love this
too. Oh yeah. And this is even more terrifying considering delegates Donald Trump won, but he has a shot at being our next president. Terrifying shot, especially if Hillary wins the Democratic nomination. But let's go ahead and listen to something he said while the media was being distracted by Chris Christie's endorsement.
Christianity is under siege. Every year, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And I had a meeting with various ministers and pastors about 2 months ago. And I'm pretty good at figuring things out. And I sat with them. And some of them said, we love you. We want to endorse you so badly. But we're afraid we're going to lose, if we do that, our tax-exempt status. And I said, what's this all about? That takes you, and it makes you less powerful than a man or woman walking up and down the street. You actually have less power. And yet, if you look at it, I was talking to some, we probably have 250 million, maybe even more, in terms of people. So we have more Christians, think of this, than we have men or women in our country. And we don't have a lobby, because they're afraid to have a lobby, because they don't want to lose their tax status. So I am going to work like hell to get rid of that prohibition. And we're going to have the strongest Christian lobby. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen. This took place during the presidency of Lyndon Johnson. And it has had a terrible, chilling effect. When I said that there has to be a temporary ban on certain people coming into this country, we have no choice. There's something wrong. There's something really wrong. And when I said Muslim, I was met with furor. If I would have said Christian, people would have said, oh, we can't do anything about it. That's going to end, folks. We're going to say Merry Christmas now on Christmas.
Yeah. Churches, they are free to say whatever the fuck they want so long as they give up their tax-exempt status.
Yeah.
So that should be Donald Trump's policy. You want to say whatever you want? You want to endorse whatever candidate you want? Fine, fuck it. Give up your tax policy. But no, he wants to just fucking... Oh, God, what is the actual code called? But anyways,
501c3.
Yes, thank you. He wants to take that away. And
just actually, say, it's probably different than 501c3, but something along those lines.
So he wants them to have their taxes exempt and eat their cake too.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Now, what's the scariest thing with Trump is if you look at his past and the things he said and compare that with what he's saying now, it is difficult to tell, did he change his mind and get crazier, or is he just saying whatever he thinks will get him votes?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think that's why he didn't want to disavow any dealings with or any good words that David Duke put out for him.
Mm-hmm.
David Duke, the former Grand Dragon of the KKK, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Governor of Alabama.
But, was he governor?
I believe he was governor before he ran for governor or senator, I forget, before he ran for presidency a couple times.
Member of the Louisiana House of Representatives.
Okay, that's what it was. Thank you. Yes, I remember that he had to get, he got elected to a position. Okay, fuck. Yes. And there's actually been quite a bit of fallout from this whole, I mean, to take it away from this story, really, but there's been a lot of fallout from him not speaking mm-hmm. out against shit on me. David Duke.
Yeah.
Scarborough's on MSNBC. He's been like Trump's biggest fanboy and cheerleader all this time. And, you know, he apparently, well, Scarborough kind of had a little bit of a meltdown. And it's like, no, this is a bridge too far. And finally said that he, you know, he didn't like Trump anymore, which is weird as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It seems like everybody's turning on Trump these last few days here, which is nice, but still
it's
weird.
Nice, but it's not affecting his poll, his standing the polls.
Of course not. Yeah, no.
So apparently everybody who's turning against him doesn't matter.
Well, everybody that's turning against him is pretty much everybody that was fucking egging him on. And
yeah. Yeah. And, but man, if he actually goes through with any of the things he says, we are in for a really shitty time.
Well, if anybody on the right gets elected, I mean, it's pretty much either Cruz or Trump now.
But mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not good either way.
I don't think Cruz is, you know, Cruz isn't less scary than Trump.
Yeah, I know, but Rubio's basically out. Carson's mm-hmm. gone. Anybody else is just pathetic after that.
Yeah, Kasich.
He's not even a joke anymore. It's pretty much just Cruz or Trump, and neither are I don't know. I mean, I think Cruz is honestly just kind of evil, and he has that weird baby face thing that just bothers me anyways. But Trump, man.
Also evil. He's
evil, but just hit or miss, just really weird. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can't pin him down on anything, really. So, I mean, I'm sure he's going to fuck shit up everywhere, but it's going to, I don't know. I mean, he just doesn't really have a good structure on anything that he's trying to pimp.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyways, goodness.
Ah, fuck. All right. We are long, so.
Okay, yes, we are.
Let's move on to feedback right. and supporters. We're going to just lump this all in together since we don't have any new supporters. And the only
announcement.
The only feedback we got was from Travis McGee.
Hey.
So let me go ahead and play that for you.
All right.
Hello, Travis McGee from Oklahoma here, and I have a special challenge for all the listeners. Dustin has a need for some new audio interface equipment to allow a third mic set up for more in-studio guests. He has the rest of equipment, but lacks the equipment to connect it to his computer. So in order to make this happen for the month of March, I'm throwing out a challenge. I will match all new patronage and PayPal donations up to $100. The more we raise, the higher the quality and the better the show will sound. So who's with me?
Fucking A, Travis.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that he watched the studio tour I did.
Ah.
And I mentioned that I, you know, showed my interface that I have and how I would like a new one. As you all know, money is tight right now with Lauren not working. But I have a ArtTube MP that is sitting doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I have microphones that are sitting doing nothing. I have a spot on my Behringer Autocom Pro that has compressor, limiter, noise gate, all of that. One of the two spots on that is doing nothing. Oh, the only thing I am missing is that input to get into the computer. And yeah, if we can get money in from you, our awesome listeners, I can get another mic set up for getting more guests in studio. There are lots of good people here in Crazy Idaho that would be awesome to talk to. And it'd be a lot easier to get them in, especially since a lot of them like Lauren more than me, if she can be in on it too. And, oh man, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. You guys could all make me really happy.
All right. So everybody, please sign up. Just like you're saying, month of March. If you've been wanting to kick in for a while, go ahead, do it. This is the perfect time. Double your money by doing this. So, you know, help us out. And yeah, much appreciated. What can I?
Yeah. And on that note, we're done. You can always email us at contact at atheistnomads.com. Call us at 541-203-0666. Leave us a review on iTunes. If you can figure out how, leave us a review on Stitcher and let us know. And yeah, give us money so I can get a new interface and we can eat and drink and be happy.
And you know what? There's no specific time of year. You know, it's not Christmas. It's not anything like that. But you know what? If you got some Amazon shopping to do, use a little click through on our site. You know, it helps us out a lot. And, you know, you'll feel good and we'll get a couple bucks out of it.
A lot of you are getting tax returns.
Oh, yeah. Fucking A.
I'm not. I have to pay the IRS, but.
You want that really nice, shiny, new 4K TV that's on the cheap on Amazon? Yeah. Sure, click through.
Or to make, you know. Let's go with the tithe number. 10% of that become 20 to help buy me a new interface. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So enough begging.
Yep.
Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And we will be back in a week.
That's right. With an interview with somebody.
Yeah. So if you got suggestions, email me real quick. Wesley at atheistnomads.com. Seriously. Quick. All right.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.